We started, I got me on a course a couple of weeks ago, starting on Wednesday night. And we're going to kind of continue in that. You can have your Bibles, Romans, we're going to start the 5th chapter and the 12th verse.
Amen. Amen.
It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Jump down to 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him to come. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus.
Come on now.
21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on and give God some praise. God has had me dealing with what is death. What is death? Now we're going to be looking at it from God's point of view. Because God's point of view differs from man's point of view. Man would have you believe that death is some spirit that just arbitrarily just floats around and kind of grabs up anybody he wants to. That somehow this death is just all powerful. It just snatches up. People made movies about it. Some dude with a sheet on and a sickle in his hand. And that somehow God is responsible for him. Pastor Martina talked about information. God wants us to have information.
Amen.
He said the mysteries would be made known unto us. Yes. We who are his body. Amen. If you're a born again believer, you are part of his body. And you need this information to overcome.
Amen.
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 Because if you don't, then you got this idea of this thing that can just arbitrarily just get you at any time. And that creates fear. And fear, the Bible says fear hath torment. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are tormented by this. A lot of people blame God because when they don't understand this, they blame God for taking their loved one. Let's go back to the scripture. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore as by one man, on account of through the actions of one man, sin entered. Talked about sin that there. Talked about an aberration from prescribed law. In other words, God gave the man Adam instructions. The man Adam purposely disobeyed the instructions.
Come on now.
And when he did, a separation occurred between us and between God and us through the man Adam.
Yeah.
When he did that, death was created. Death don't have nothing to do with Lucifer. A lot of folks think he got all this power. It don't have nothing to do with it. The scripture says it right here plainly. Wherefore, as by one man, one human being, sin entered into the world, and death by that sin, so death passed upon all men, all human beings, for all have sinned because Adam is the first man, and he represents the human race.
Amen. 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 Break it down.
14. It says, nevertheless, death ruled from Adam because it was originated from him until Moses. Moses represents the law. It said it reigned over them that even had not sinned. That includes babies. That's why babies die. They committed no sin, but they died. Those who are mentally challenged, they don't know what they're doing, but they died. Why? Because this man, when he did what he did, and he did it on purpose, it created a condition. A state of existence. So therefore, death is not an angel. I know we say that all the time. We hear folks saying the death angel. And like I said, we look at movies. Easter's coming up. The Ten Commandments come on. And we see that, that ghostly hand that comes down. Talking about the death angel. There is no such thing as a death angel. How do you know? I searched the scriptures. I got a concordance and I looked up the word death in cooperation with angel and spirit, and they do not connect.
Come on now.
God is not the author of death. He is not the author of confusion. Yes. When you describe God, his term is sowing life.
Come on now. Yes.
God don't have nothing to do with death. Nothing. It's the man's fault.
Amen.
We just seen where we just a young individual went down there in Florida and just killed up some folk.
Yeah.
We just seen it in Bay. We just seen it all the way back to Columbine. Why? Because death is in the person.
Right.
What it did, it killed them spiritually first.
Yeah.
It cut them off from God.
Yeah.
Secondly, it caused them to degrade mentally. It's just like a baby in the mother's womb. If something happens to the umbilical cord, the baby could be damaged. Well, the man cut us off from God. We were in God. He cut us off. So he cut us off spiritually. Everything now born is born into sin and into death. We degraded mentally and physically. We now die.
Come on now.
We get sick and we die. Why? Because of what the man did. And that death reigned, it ruled over everything until the word of God came.
Man.
Now, go to, I want to show y'all something. Go to Leviticus, 21st chapter. This is under the old covenant. You look at your Bibles and it says New Testament, Old Testament. The word there is covenant. It means new agreement, old agreement. So we're looking at the old agreement on how God dealt with death. We were talking this morning about the fact, and I know I'm giving y'all a lot of information, that we now who are born again are God's priests. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Okay. Now, God dealt with the old priests in order to they would minister to him for the people. This is what God says about death. Leviticus 21, and we're going to start the first verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall, this is the Aaron's sons now, because they were priests under their father. There shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. In other words, they could not go into a dead body. Now, God gave them some exceptions. Except for those near him, his mother or his father, his son, his daughter, or his brother or his sister who is a virgin, who is nigh unto him that hath no husband, for her he may be defiled. In other words, go into her. But he shall not defile himself being a chief man among his people to profane himself. And that's talking about his wife. He couldn't even go in there and minister to wife or funeral. Jump down to the 10th verse. Same chapter. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, who, upon whose head the anointing oil is poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garment, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, neither shall he go into any dead body. In other words, God wanted a total separation from those things that are alive, from those things that are dead. You could not touch a dead body. It would make you unclean for 7 days, and it will, they would have to put you out the camp. If you touched a dead animal, you were unclean until the evening. So therefore, that lets you know, right, I'm trying to lay the case here, that God don't have nothing to do with death.
Amen.
Now, God receives us. I know we say God took them home. God receives us.
Yes, he does.
He receives us when we die.
Amen.
He don't take us. nature's there because that's what death also created. He created a nature that is different from God. He created a sin nature. That's also come from the man. By one man, sin entered. It entered into the man and it passed out through him. So death passed through all men. Sin nature passed through all men. That's why we had to have a Savior, Jesus, come in the flesh, because that's where the transgression happened, in the flesh. So God had to deal with it in the flesh.
Come on, Lord.
Come on, give God some praise.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
God has been dealing with us to let us know about death, what it is. Once again, it is not an angel. It's not a spirit. It's an existence. It's a condition. Prove it. What's your salvation? What's your salvation? It's an existence. It's a condition that is set up when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your Lord. He creates a condition and existence of life in your body. He reconnects you from what the man separated you from, which is eternal life. Because we are born into death. Okay? And now, let me show you how powerful it is. You didn't have to make any sin. Just the fact that he messed up damned you eternally. Damned means cut off, separate. You're separated from God eternally. Jesus came, and not only did he cure that, but when I mess up, I can go to God and get forgiveness for my sin. Yeah. Come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
Now, go to Matthew, because, you know, a lot of folks, when they talk about, well, you know, there's Paul, there's Paul that, you know. Then you teach Jesus what Jesus said. So we're going to teach what Jesus said. Go to Matthew 13 chapter.
Come on now.
Once again, I was talking about the fact that God wants the mysteries to be made known unto us his body.
Uh-huh.
Jesus was doing the same thing with his disciples.
Come on now. Come on now.
Matthew 13. And we're going to start with the 24th verse.
Uh-huh.
Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
Another parable, this is talking about Jesus, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came unto him and said, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in that field? From whence then hath it tares? And the master said, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The translation, and a man and enemy hath done this. Now, what are tares? Tares, while growing up, they look like wheat. But when they're full grown, the ears are long and the grain are almost black. Each grain of these tares must be removed before grinding into the wheat, or the bread is bitter and poisonous. What he's saying is, an enemy came in. When the man Adam was first born, he was just like the wheat. Just like the wheat.
Yeah.
But Adam sowed into himself. And when he did that, when he separated from God, he became bitter and poisonous.
My Lord.
See, Jesus was telling them this so that they could understand, so that you can understand where this death comes from, where this sin nature comes from, and what it can do to you. Mm-hmm. See, you have to be responsible for yourself.
Amen.
We run around, we blame Lucifer for everything. We blame him for the gas getting cut off and the cars and all of this stuff. We don't repair the car right. We don't pay the bill on the gas. But yeah, it's that dirty devil. He did it again. Blame him for everything. God wants us to take responsibility for what we do.
Amen. Amen.
You can't blame the devil anymore.
That's right.
You can't blame him. You are a new creature in God. When God, you was already separated from Lucifer anyway. He had nothing to do with that. But he separated you from that nature.
Yeah.
He broke the chain. Now, unfortunately, that nature is still there, but the Spirit of God is also in there.
Yeah.
Now, whom you yield your members to,
that's
is
right.
your master.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right. Come on now.
And we are church folks in here. We know we ain't nobody in here gonna serve the devil.
Come on now. Come on now.
But we will serve ourselves
yeah.
in a minute.
That's right.
Well, hey, just a few weeks ago, football on. Hey, I'm thinking about her and I'm getting out of church. So I see a game. Who's that? That ain't God.
Right.
That's me. That's my desire. And we have to control those things. Now, let's go on. So God let you know about how this came about. Now, let's continue on. 13 and 28 of Matthew, he said unto them, an enemy in man hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then go, that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat also with them. Here's Paul. Here's Apostle Paul. Lord, let this thing part for me. Let this thing part from me.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed three times. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. The same reason why they didn't tear the tares up is the same reason he couldn't do that, because it would kill him.
Right.
Couldn't take that old nature out. Gotta wait till the harvest, just like here. Says, what did he say? 30th verse, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We're the fruit of God's Spirit. God wants us to gather us into him. However, if you allow yourself to be led off by your natures and your passion, you go with the tares to get burnt.
Lord,
it's as simple as that. God's not playing. He's not playing. Now, let's continue on. Go to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. Time to hurry, but I'm trying not to hurry.
Amen.
Right. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. So what about this debt? What is it? And how does it do what it does? 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, and we're going to read the 12th verse. It says, so then death worketh in us. In other words, it's already here. We're born with it.
Amen.
Amen.
No ghost or nothing, with no guy, with no sheep, no sickle chasing nobody.
Uh-huh.
It's already here. But look what also, it says, but life is in us also.
Amen.
Why? Because we receive the Spirit of God,
yes.
So now we also have life.
Thank you, Lord.
The Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the Spirit. The Word of God will give you instruction on what your flesh is and what the Spirit of God is, so that you can do what you're supposed to be able to do. Now, some folks, okay, well, you know, the grace of God is sufficient, you know, so, you know, I guess I can continue in sin. Let's go back to Romans 6 chapter.
Come on, teacher.
Because some folks think like that. I'm going to go out here and do what I want to do, and then I'm going to ask God to forgive me after.
Right.
Some folks think like that, especially those that are young in the faith, and they don't understand that you're going to reap what you sow. Let me tell you something. That law is immutable. It cannot be changed.
Right.
Folks, when they say it in the world, payback is karma. Some balancing force. That is talking about karma.
Yeah.
No balancing force. This is a God-directed force talking about sowing and reaping.
Come on now.
It's directed by God. Therefore, it's going to accomplish what God sets out for it to do.
Right.
So if you didn't put yourself in position, you going to reap. Now, God gives you the grace to bear up under it, but you got to get it. And it don't make no difference how young or how old you are. Once you come to that age, now they used to say 12 is the age of life. I don't know what the age is because each child is different. When that child comes to the understanding of what right and wrong is, then he is able to receive the wrath of God just like the world. Romans 6:1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yeah, I'm going to go into God, the grace of God is going to come. It says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, in other words, when you're born again, now you are dead to it.
Yeah.
Live any longer therein, within it. He's asking the third verse. Don't you understand? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? In other words, that's why the baptism is so important. Because it puts us on a par with Jesus. That's the system that we recognize that we are now dead to the old nature.
Amen.
Jesus put the old nature to death. He had the old nature. In other words, he had to, understand this, he had to have the capacity to commit sin.
Right.
Otherwise, the deck is stacked. If he can't commit sin, in other words, like a robot, then how can he tell me don't sin? The deck's stacked. I can never measure up.
Uh-huh.
But he had to have the ability to commit sin. And then say no to it, just like he expects me now to do it. And he did it first.
My Lord.
Now he had his toughest fight in Gethsemane when he went to pray. Lord, if this be thy will, let this cup pass for me. Now he knew the will of God. He knew it eons before when they were together in unity talking about when we create this man, we might have to go down here and say it.
Come on now.
He already knew that. But yet when it gets close, now he wants to back up. But yet he killed that nature within him.
Right.
He subdued it by the word of God. He said, nevertheless, not my will, not my desire, not what I want, but Lord, what you want.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It's not going to be easy.
Tell it.
Let me tell you something. That nature in you, it hates God. Don't you understand? It took you, some of us, it took us a long time to get saved.
Yes.
Why? Because that nature didn't want to hear that.
Right.
And then, you know how the flesh is. See, we don't want to, you know, it's got a body too. And a lot of times, we don't pay no attention to it. But a lot of people, they can see the change that begins into you. Uh-huh. And they know that you're changing from what you were into something different.
Uh-huh.
And they try to go over there and try to pull so they can pull you back. Uh-huh. They don't know what you're changing into, but they want to kind of pull you back in it. When you used to hang with them, now they want you to hang because you're not hanging no more. That mindset is active.
Yeah.
See, we don't know it. It's subtle, but it's active.
My Jesus. Amen.
Used to say a lot of times, especially when old days, idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Yeah.
I'm telling my father this, and my father told me something. He said, you know what? He said, so I'm going to show you something that's worse. He said, what's worse than an idle mind? He said, an active, evil mind.
All right now.
That's what the nature of man is. It's active and it's evil. It never stops. When you sleep, it be bringing up stuff. All dreams and stuff you used to have.
Amen.
Things you used to do.
Yeah. Huh?
That's that nature that's in you. That's that nature that's against God. The Bible says, talks about the flesh war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Okay? Because it's trying to stop you from doing what God has designed for you to do. So now God causes us to be baptized so that we recognize that we are dead with him. We were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through this baptism so that, like Christ was raised up from the dead by by the glory of the Father. Why? Because he completed his mission. That's why Christ was raised up. If Christ had not completed his mission, if he had failed, Christ would not have been raised up.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says he is the firstborn from the dead. Why? Because he was obedient.
Right.
He was obedient. We have to also be obedient because God is going to take us through death.
Right.
See, he went through it and came out on the other side. And he went back to the Father and presented himself as the perfect sacrifice. Therefore,
come on.
You better make your decision on this side.
Right.
A lot of folks, well, you know, things happen, people die and stuff, and folks want to pray over dead folks. Your prayer is useless. Jesus said it like this: they not saying, let the dead bury their dead. Meaning, those that are outside of God, let those that are outside of God bury them. Folks believe in, you know, still some folks believe in purgatory. That was under the old covenant.
Tell it.
What do you mean? That was over the old covenant. They didn't have a way under God. They believed in God. They obeyed God, but they didn't have a way to God.
Amen.
So God put them over in a special place.
Uh-huh.
When Jesus died, Jesus went to that special place that God prepared for them, preached the word to them, and led them out.
Amen.
Come on
Amen.
Now. Amen.
Death was holding them. So the liberator went down and liberated those that were captive by death.
Oh, yeah.
Now that special place is gone.
Woo!
Because the liberator is now here. The liberator is here, and he's made us free spiritually, he's made us free mentally, we have the mind of Christ, and we have also, we can go to God for our healing. Well, now what if God went suffering for this all these years, and I finally died from this thing? You still get healed when you were resurrected. You are healed from death. He's still the healer. That's rare. He's still the healer. So we were buried with him so that it's like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory. We're raised up. Even so, we should walk now in newness of life. That means you got to study this word.
Amen.
You got to study this word. Because the word is your life.
Amen.
It's your lifeline.
Yes.
In spite of the fact of what you go through, it's your lifeline. New life. A new way of thinking. A new way of doing things. Led by the Spirit of God. Fifth verse, 6 and 5. It says, for if we have become planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Folks are in the grave right now. But they're going to come out of the grave.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because Jesus came out of the grave.
Yes, right. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Go to Revelation. Revelation, first chapter. Revelation 1:18. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I've got the keys to hell and death. What that's talking about is talking about the state of death and the grave.
Uh-huh.
preaching then.
Because that's where you're held. You're held in the grave. Death is what holds you. Not Lucifer. He don't have that power. He don't have that power. The man created that. That's why also it says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It ain't nothing about Lucifer. Lucifer going to be cast in the lake of fire. But he said the last enemy. Because the last enemy was the first enemy.
Right.
He's the one separating you from God. Lucifer is just some spirit. Just folks want to pay attention to it because they see the word death. You better search those scriptures out. What do you mean? There's two words for the word devil.
Right.
You look at it in the Greek.
Come on, teacher.
The first word talks about the slanderer, accuser. Who's that? See, God likes to use figures of speech and things because he wants you to search out.
That's right. Right.
When
right.
I say, like, what's that? Streets. What's slander? Accuse? Then you go back. When they ask Adam, what have you done? Lord, the woman that you gave me. She did. That's slander God. You blaming God for the fault.
Slanderer.
That's slander.
Slanderer.
The other's the demon. When Jesus said, ye are your father, the devil, he wasn't talking about Lucifer, he was talking about the man Adam.
Right.
Because he went on and described the case. He said, because he was a liar, the man lied on God. He was a murderer. Who did he murder? He murdered the whole human race when he separated us from God.
Come on,
he just didn't use a knife or a gun to do it. He's subtle. He's smart.
My Lord.
He's smart. He's very smart. Adam was the most brilliant.
Yes.
Creature that God ever created. He was smarter than Lucifer.
Yeah.
Case in point, we still blame Lucifer for everything. And we don't blame the man for nothing. We even blame the woman. We still blaming the woman, Eve, and the man sitting over there.
You better teach.
He still hide. And folks let him hide. Because why? Because we don't want to take responsibility for our actions.
Amen.
So he's got the keys to death and hell.
Yes.
The state of death. Go to Isaiah 25. Not going to be too much long. Isaiah 25. Verse 8. Now we just read over in Revelation that he said he was dead and now he is alive forever and hath the keys. Mm-hmm. He controls it now.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
He controls it. 25 and 8. And it says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. That old nature is going to finally be taken away from us.
Amen.
That rebuke, amen. That's a rebuke. That's a rebuke, that's a curse that has been applied to us. Poverty, sickness, and death have been applied to us. Wasn't our fault, but we received what the man did. But God said he would wipe away the tears because that causes sorrow.
Yes.
Folks are depressed. They committing suicide. Why? Because of that old nature. That nature is in there. It's telling them that nobody loves them. They can be in the church. It don't make no difference. That mind speaks 24 hours a day. It tells you no good. It tells you you can't make it. It tells you that people don't love you. People can come out there and just show you all kinds of love. But that old nature will convince you that nobody loves them. That's why you have to have the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ is the overcoming mindset. That's what Jesus used. Jesus said, walk through death. Now he expects us to follow. I can follow him too. I got the keys too. Why? Because he got the keys and I'm in him. Come on and give God some praise. Sixth verse, go back to Romans. Back to Romans, sixth chapter. Mm-hmm. Romans 6 and 6 says, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that or in order that the body of sin might be destroyed or annulled. Might be annulled. In other words, annul the marriage. The relationship is gone. The other individual is still there, but the relationship is gone. I no longer have the attributes of my father.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now I gotta watch it now because I still got the attributes of myself.
Uh-huh.
But I no longer. You, what I mean by the father. You remember back in the day where you do something. You're like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why did I do that? It's like you did something and you did. You caught yourself on the other side. That's that relationship to the old man.
Uh-huh.
God has cut that. Now when we do something, it's because we think about it.
Uh-huh.
We consider it.
Uh-huh.
And then we, if we want to, we carry it out.
Right.
In spite of the grace, it's a choice. In spite of some of us, we do it willingly.
Yeah.
Now, thank God, God got mercy for us. But we make it plain. We
Man.
Do some things, we think some things, and we say some things. We do that.
Come on, teacher.
So God has made a way for us because God understands that.
Amen.
But you got to understand that you can't, just like Brother Fred, you don't know. You don't know. You can get caught out.
Yes.
Don't get caught out.
Yes.
God understands it, but God wants us to deal with it.
Amen.
Okay? It's an understanding, you know, like we understand poo-poo in it and don't do nothing. No, God wants you to understand it and do something about it. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed or annulled, that we should henceforth no longer serve the Adamic nature or the sin nature.
That's right. That's right.
Seventh verse. He that is freed from sin, or he that has died with Christ, has been justified or cleared from the claims of what Adam did. I've been cleared from it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just before God.
Uh-huh.
I'm justified. I'm no longer the sinner saved by grace, even though the nature's in there. I'm justified before God.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. In other words, when this, my span of days is over, and God said in the word, 70, 80 that's 70, 80 by reason of strength. We know some might be stronger than that, some the 80, 90, 100. Okay? Mm. When those days are over, I shall be with him. Now, actually, I'm with him already.
Amen.
But this veil of flesh is going to be taken away.
That's right.
Okay, that's what he means. So, but I'm already with him because I'm in him now.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Ninth verse. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him.
Yes.
It is no longer superior to him.
Right.
He went through it so that we could follow after him in back into eternal life. We have been redeemed. We are now reconnected to eternal life. We have eternal life now.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now we have.
Yes.
We don't get on the other side. We
right
get
here.
It now.
Right here. Amen. Amen.
10th verse. For in that he died, he died to the sin nature once. But in that he liveth unto God. Our lives now are dedicated to God through Christ. And we live upon the word. We eat the word. We study the word. We do those things that are acceptable unto God. It's a fight for that old man. He's still in there and he wants his own way. But we live unto God. Now, 11th verse, let me close out with this. Likewise, in the same manner that Jesus did, reckon ye yourselves, also yourselves, to be dead. Now, I think about that word dead, and I'll think about a medical term. When the EMTs are trying to work on the body and they're doing all they can to revive him, and it doesn't work, they say he is unresponsive.
Uh-huh.
Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be unresponsive indeed unto the sin nature,
right.
But alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have to, let me tell you something. We have to do this. It's now, what? 2018. It's still a new year. Only a couple months off. But I listen to folks and folks, yeah, every time the old year goes out, I'll be glad when the new year comes in. Been hearing that. Just been hearing that. Let me tell you something. If you don't make no change, ain't nothing gonna happen to you except a change in the calendar. Nothing about the calendar change is magical or even supernatural.
Right.
I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, the same stuff happened.
Yes.
I said, well, you know, I'm listening to the pastor. Well, maybe you the one that need to change. I started considering it. So then I started making change.
Come on now.
Slowly. Now, I ain't mad enough. I ain't like Paul. I ain't like one. I done did it all. And I done achieved everything. I'm still working on it.
Come on now.
But you have to make the change. You have to make the choice. The choice is the word so that we are not a slave to our emotions.
Right.
See, because that is one of the quickest ways that will lead you off the track is by getting caught up with your human emotion. Right. Now, God gave it to you, but the man Adam caused him to go out of control. We need to rein him back in, tear down them strongholds that build up in our own mind. The ones that say that don't nobody like us and all that kind of stuff. We have to tear that down. You have to do it by the word of God. You have to understand, I'm by myself. But God said, I never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
Nobody loved me, but God said, I sent my only begotten son that you might have life.
Come on now. Right.
Lord, I may not have, he said, I'm your provision, son.
Amen.
I'm your way man.
Come on.
Lord, I don't have no friend. He said, I'm your friend.
Jesus.
I'm alone. I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm to be with you always, even as the end. That's the word of God. That's what's going to make the difference. Understanding the scriptures and knowing that in spite of what my mind tells me, what this brain tells me, what my feelings tell me, the word of God, which is plain and concise, is telling me something different. I'm going to put it like this. You receive old programming. When Jesus come along, you receive new programming. Okay? What you going to listen to? You going to listen to the old garbage? You say garbage in, garbage out. The word of God is life unto us. The word of God is peace unto us. The word of God is joy unto us. The word of God is love unto us. The word of God is provision unto us. God will make a way where you have no way. You may not have all the money you want, but God will make a way anyway. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. So you've got a right to give God praise. When you get in trouble, you've got a right to call him up and ask him, Lord, I'm in trouble. And God will answer you. God will rescue you. He will come to you in a time of trouble. You just heard Brother Fred. He's still alive. Why? Because the Spirit of God, he may have got his money to it, but he still got his life. Let me tell you something. God is still the protector. God is still the way maker. God is still the deliverer. Just the same way he delivered the children of Israel, he'll deliver you. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. Yourself to be unresponsive to the old nature. Because we all have those times when we get by ourselves, and that's when that old man starts speaking. That's when he starts telling you, not going to make it. God's telling you because he's in you, you've already made it. Now you got to endure now. You got to endure. But he's the endurer. Yeah. How do you endure? word, the one who took it all is in you. He's standing up in you by his word. Come on and give God a prayer. Say this, and we're going to pray. Understand that when we pray, sometimes, you know, we've been praying a certain way 100 years. Okay, so we don't change easily overnight. So, you know, we don't take it where because somebody said we pray against the spirit of death. Okay, but we know what it is. It's a statement. It's a condition. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak against it. I speak against that mindset, Lord God, that was created in the beginning of mankind. That mindset that's still prevalent, Lord God. Ah, Lord God, you sent the Son of God. You sent your Son, so, Lord, that we have a way out. Lord God, and we have strength in the midst of our troubles. We have strength in the midst of our difficulties. We have strength in the midst of our trials. And we thank you for that strength because it's our ever-present help in trouble, Lord God, and also in the time of trouble. Lord God, we thank you for touching each and one, everyone here in their mindset, Lord God. I create a hunger in them for that word, Lord God. Because that word is their salvation. That word is their deliverance. That word is their strength. That word is their peace. That word is their joy, Lord God. And as they partake of it, Lord God, they rebuke death. They push him back, Lord God. Even as you resist him, Lord God, we resist him because we are in you. We thank you, Lord God, for making a way that is on no way, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we have this peace. We thank you that we are set apart for your youth in this kingdom, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are free from the old nature. Lord God, we thank you for the strength of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, and the life of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and give God some praise. So remember, you got to make the change. Jesus has done his work. Now it's our turn. It's offering time. Come on and give God some praise for that.
Hallelujah. Glory.